you'll have to pardon me. My voice is a little bit, I don't know what's the matter with it. I think it's allergies. But I'm here, okay? And most of you know that, Pastor, when it comes to special holidays, I like to speak to that particular thing. And this is Memorial Day weekend, so if you want a title for this, it's just Memorial Day Sermon. That's just it. All right? You know, Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in our nation's service. It was observed on May 30th until 1971. Many of y'all may remember that it was always May 30th, whatever day that was, whether it was Sunday or Saturday or whatever, it was May 30th, it was Memorial Day, right? But that was changed to the last Monday of May. And so now it has become a 3-day weekend, I guess you'd call it. Now, the custom for placing flowers on the graves of those that had died in the war began all the way back in May of 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all American war deaths. And, you know, this is a solemn time for many families that their loved one gave the ultimate sacrifice, that we could sit here today in freedom to worship God. I guess the most solemn ceremony that will take place on Memorial Day is the placing of the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. But as we celebrate tomorrow, Memorial Day, let's just not let it become a day that we have off from work, or just become a 3-day weekend. You know, just as I said a while ago, for those that have lost someone because of a military action, this means more to them than just a day off. And I was thinking of Chris Horton, David and Cherie Horton's son. Many of you know David Horton. He was part of the Rhema Singers and Band and part of all kinds of things around here. And I had the privilege of speaking at his memorial service, but he gave his life in Afghanistan. You know, and I was seeing some things that David was putting on Facebook and some text and things. This means a whole lot more to a lot of people than it does to some others. I still remember as a child, of course, I was born September 3rd, 1939, so I know World War II, and I remember my mom one day was crying, and I was about 3, I guess, and I asked Dad, I said, "Well, why is Mom crying?" She said, "Well, one of her friends that she grew up with had the farm right next to their farm, went to school with, has just been killed in the war." You know, I think it's every American's duty to recognize this day because of what it means. We honor those that have spilled their blood to make America free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. And Jesus Christ spilled his blood so that we could be free spiritually. You know, because of these that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, we can preach the word of God freely right here today. We can live in peace in our own homes. We can pursue peace and prosperity and happiness. You know, I go to Branson quite often, and they honor the veterans and the people up there. And I can't help, and I'm sure that I have comrades here with me that have served that remember some of their buddies that gave the ultimate sacrifice. I still remember, my wife, she says I recall it all the time, but I cannot go to one of those where they recognize the veterans without thinking about one of the guys that I was in signal school with. Walked off of a plane in Vietnam and took a sniper's bullet right here. I can't help but think about that. And I'm sure there's many of you that are in the same position that I am, in that. People say I bleed red, white, and blue. I do. For many of you that are in the older age bracket, you remember this. But for you younger ones, you do not remember the fact that if it wasn't for America, the whole world would either be speaking Japanese or German. They have taken so much of the history out of our history books and don't teach it anymore. But history should, as I said earlier, it stands to help us not to go there again. History, it happened. Good, bad, and ugly. And some of it shouldn't have happened, but it did. We can't change that, but we can change the future. And we can honor those that gave their life so we could live free, so we can change things. We need to thank God that we live in a free nation. Many, as I see, many of our Rhema people that travel to other nations, they don't have the freedom that we have. Now, they have a little freedom, but they don't have the freedom we have. I was in a nation several years ago, and well, it's been several years ago, and the man said, oh, we've got to hurry to the petrol station and get some fuel. And I said, why? He said, well, they did. The government just announced they're closing all the service stations at 5 o'clock today, and they won't reopen until 8 o'clock tomorrow. I mean, on Monday. And that was Friday afternoon. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you live in a different country. Think about that. The government can just say, okay, all gas stations will close. And they do. Thank God for our freedom. A memorial is a remembrance. You know, let us look at what the Lord says about remembering. I've been talking about our natural memorial, but in Deuteronomy 6, 12 through 15, it says, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery from the land of Egypt. This, he's talking to the children of Israel here. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him when you take an oath, and you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of the neighboring nations. For the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger flares up against you and will wipe you from the face of the earth. Here, the Lord wants us to remember. He wanted the Israelites to remember that he was the one that delivered them. He wants us to remember that he is the one that has delivered us. You know, sometimes we have short memories. I well remember, and many of you sitting here remember 9/11. On that Wednesday night, we had to open the balcony because of the people that came. But that was short-lived. Joshua 4, 1 through 9, it says here, and we're talking about my remembrances. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from every place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together 12 men he had chosen from one from each tribe. And he told them to go, you know, to do what the Lord had told him to do there. And so they did. And in verse 6 it said, "We'll use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord of the covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" Now, let's drop on down to verses 19 through 24 here and read of that fourth chapter. "The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the month, and then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Jehovah piled up the 12 stones taken from the River Jordan. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry land. For your Lord God dried up the river right before your eyes and kept it dry until all were across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed. He did this so that all nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God.'" This was to be something that caused them to remember what God had done. You know, we respond in crisis, but however, the good times come and we seem to forget. And things lose their meaning. The Israelites were brought out of bondage. And he brought them across the Red Sea. He brought them across the River Jordan. He conquered all the enemies before them. And here now he is telling them, you need to set up a memorial to remember this. And when your children ask, then you tell them. You know, we all have pivotal points in our lives. We all have personal stones, we might call it, that are memorials. You know, if you could recall all of the memories that God has done for you, your house wouldn't hold all the stones. You know, it probably would be a good idea to maybe write down a few of these things and go back and read about them ever so often. I know Lynette and I, ever so often, we will go back if we're driving somewhere in the car together on a road trip, and we'll again reminisce back the things that God has done for us and where he's brought us from. Every one of you can look back and see where you were in yesteryear and where you are today. Those are things we need to remember, because if God told his natural people and we are his spiritual people, if he told them to set up memorials and never forget him and what he had done, then we should do the same thing. I'm still talking about memorial. A memorial is set up to remember. You know, we are clawing our way through life, following God. And sometimes we tend to forget that all of the technology and all of the great things that we have, it's not here just because it's happening. It's here because of God. My dad used to say it all the time. God is the one that's giving ideas to people to help humanity. The devil wants to destroy them. He said that's God's way of helping the natural man. Come on now. You know. How many of you, as youngsters like I was, and me and my sis, it was our duty after, we called it supper back then. It was breakfast, dinner, and supper. Anybody remember when it was that? It was our duty to wash the dishes and dry the dishes and put them up. Anybody been there besides me? And I always hurried. I ate fast and I always hurried so I could get to wash because I hated drying. It's always a race. Anybody else get in a race with any of your siblings? So you would. Excuse me. You know, we need to have reflections on what God has done for us. I trust that as I've been talking this morning, and my goal in all of this is to get your mind back thinking about how God has directed you, how he has led you, how he has brought you from one place to another. You know, in that Joshua 4:7, the last part of that verse says, these stones will stand as a memorial among the people for Israel forever. You know, remembering is good. Remembering the special times that God has brought you something. God has walked you through. You know, I stood right here September of 2003 and spoke at my dad's memorial service. And then in 2007, I stood right here and spoke at Mom's memorial. Many of you were here. And people said, how did you do that? How could you do that? It's because of God. To me, that was him saying, okay, I got you. You can take care of this. You can do this. So many of you, many times you've wondered how you have been able to accomplish something that you've accomplished in your life. And when you stop and think about it, it's because God said, I got you. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, we need to share these with our children and grandchildren. I know my grandboys, every Christmas they get tired of hearing me, but I recant at Christmas time about, hey boys, all you have and all that hits here is because of Pawpaw, my dad, and granddad, Lynette's dad and mom. You know, many of you are here today because of the heritage of your mother and father or your grandmother and grandfather. You know, you need to give honor and glory to God for that. You know, Joshua said there in Joshua 4, we will use these stones to build a memorial. We need to remind ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren of the sacrifices that it's taken for our country to be where it is, and the sacrifices that it's taken for us to be where we are spiritually. I realize that I stand here today on the shoulders of four men. Kenneth Turner, my junior boys Sunday school teacher, nine, 10, and 11 years old. My first pastor, my pastor, Reverend Leonard Wood. My dad, Kenneth E. Hagan, and my father-in-law, Vernon E. Tipton. And I remember those guys. I remember what they put into my life. And I'm here because of that today. You need to remember why you're where you are today. It just didn't happen. God had a plan. And he still has a plan for you to follow. I look across the congregation and I see many people that I've known for many years, and I've watched you go from different triumphs to different things. And, you know, I mean, I'm seeing Shekinah Glory sitting over there, and I watched them. They came to school and what God has done. You know, and I look and I begin to see different ones, and I can say, oh, thank God. Thank God. Because families have been blessed. People have been blessed because of you. But you, it's not you. It's all God. You had to do some work, but it was God that made it happen. He told these stones are there so the remembrance of what God did would be there forever. It says there in verse 24 of Joshua, he did this so that all nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. You know, every time that you celebrate a memorial that God has done and brought you through, you're telling everybody around, look how great God is. Look how great God is. That last song, that's all I'm saying about it. Great God. But I want to zero in on something else right now. Memorial stones should be a time of personal renewing your commitment to God. You know, it's easy to be committed to God in the good times. But in the times of testing, we need to look at our memorial stones. You know, Mary and Daniel, the three Hebrew children, said, our God is able to deliver us, but I like their commitment. But if he doesn't, we're still going to serve him. Now that's commitment. Daniel, the king gave out the edict that they're not to pray. And he said, I'm still going to pray regardless of the consequences, knowing my God will deliver me. Commitment. Commitment requires obedience and faith. You know, it takes faith to step out and follow the plan of God. But when you step out in faith, you can look back at the memorial where you did that time and time again, and God was always there. So take that step of faith and obey God and watch Him come through. You know, those stones that they put up on this side of Jordan, they had been on the other side of Jordan in the wilderness for 40 years because their parents and their grandparents refused to follow God. Though that became a memorial to them, saying, hey, this overcomes all of our past 40 years of hardship and labor. It was a new beginning for them. So as you have your memorials, let a memorial always help you with a new beginning. They had to leave one shore and go to the other shore before they got to the promised land. They got in the promised land, then they had to possess it. Our salvation life down here is like the children of Israel possessing the promised land. Somebody might say, cross Jordan to Canaan's fair and happy land. You know, they try to say that heaven is the promised land. Heaven's not the promised land. There's no fights up there and everything's peace. You're in your promised land right now. Set up the memorials. If God told His natural people to set memorials, then His spiritual people should be setting up memorials and following them. You know, stepping out into the unknown territory with Christ, that river was at flood stage. And God told Joshua, all right, let's go. They started walking, carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was the power of God. When Christ died on that cross is a memorial. That curtain in that temple was ripped from top to bottom. It was about 3 foot thick and 20 foot tall, I believe it was. It said, no longer will my power reside in a wooden box, the Ark of the Covenant, but it had come and reside in us. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. As those priests marched toward that water, it was still flowing. But it said when their feet touched the water, then it stopped. We need to realize we don't stop and wait. We keep going with God and watch Him do it. And then He said, okay, you saw what I did. Now set a memorial and remember this forever. As they built that altar where they camped that night on the other side from the wilderness into the promised land, all their past defeats and failures, they were all gone. Today, we should be able to look back on monumental occasions that stand out when God changed our direction, changed our life, and gave us new hope and new purpose. Do you realize that Christianity is only one generation away from extinction if the children are not reminded of the past? It says in Proverbs 22:6, direct your children in the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. We have to train our children in the path of righteousness and God. We have to talk about the memorial of the cross. We have to talk about the memorial of the empty grave. And out of all of these memorials, then comes our personal lives. As we remember what God has done for us, we need to become that light of the world that it talks about in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Our society is trying to remove all of our memorials of Christianity and do away with Christianity. But we need to stand up proud and square our shoulders, come to attention and say, I remember when God delivered me. And my commitment is still to God, no matter what happens. Let's let our memorials of the past help us to go on to our future. That's what a memorial does. It sets the parameters for the future. Because that memorial says, hey, this is what would have happened if it had not been for this event. And now the future is bright. If it had not have been for the event of Calvary, if it had not have been for the event of the empty tomb, where would you be? Those stand as monuments for the liberty and spiritual freedom. Just as the tomb of the unknown soldier and the tomb of many in this cemetery right down here, they got all the flags out, stands to remind us what that flag stands for. So today, this weekend, as we enjoy Memorial Weekend, let's let it be a natural and a supernatural Memorial Weekend. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people for a few moments about natural and spiritual memorials and freedoms. Help us each to understand that it's you. Yeah, it's not all supernatural. It's not all natural. It's both of both working together that brings us the success that you want us to have. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of what I had to say today? I just wanted to stir up your pure minds. I wanted to stir you up to think about where you come from, where God has brought you, what God has done for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. Many people start out following God, but then they sort of get off track and they need to get rededicated. Or if you happen to be here and you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those invitations, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let me see your hand anywhere in the room. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So let's just take a moment. Let's wait a moment. Praise the Lord. I see a hand way in the back there. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand, please. I saw one hand. Maybe there was more. I don't know. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out and come right down here. I'm going down here. I'm going to meet you down here. And I'm going to pray with you like I said I would. So would you come on right now? If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, or wanted to raise your hand, just come on right now. Come on right now. Just come on right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on, man. That's a long walk from where you came, but it's well worth it, man. God bless you. Just stand right here. And we'll wait to see if anybody else is going to come. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Meet your hands out as I pray with this man. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Every spiritual need in this life will be met tonight, today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to a special place of prayer with Greg right there where you can be prayed with individually in depth, give him some literature. God bless you. Go with him right now. Give him a hand as he goes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock, is, you know, the last Sunday night of every month is prayer time. So come ready to pray. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them back there to get that special gift that we have for them. And like we said earlier, if you're looking for a church home, let's say it again. What? Welcome home. Just come and join us. That's where we're going to be, to shake your hand right there. North, east and west doors is where we're going to be. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song. Let me get down that aisle there. We'll see you tonight. God bless.